Blog Talk Radio.
Your host for the show, Kareem Ali with the National Coalition of Women of Color in Construction. Today is October 14, 2009, and today is going to be a pretty much short show. What we want to do is express our thanks to the folks at Youth Build USA program in making the NCWC See Building Youth program, an official Youth Build program. There's a lot of current news that's going on in the industry right now, but it's interesting that we are recording live, and anyone that will be receiving this particular segment, please take a very strong look at why our areas in the areas of rural and urban development has been stifling. And I will state that this show is my personal opinion and not the opinion of the coalition itself, its members, its partners, or its sponsors. So I'd like to start off first by thanking the directors of the Youth Build, Build a Youth program, Executive Director Sherry Coleman, and our agent, our nonprofit agent, an organization, Charitable Connections, and our directors at the Build a Youth, which are Margaret Gardner, Nadine Levy, Mario Coleman, our chair, Uzumaka Obiachi, and our educational person, Mr. Jeremiah, and then the host of all of the supporters that have stood behind us strongly, the United Brotherhood of Carpenters, who have been our sponsors and our supporters for training the youth, and then our partners with DeKalb Alternative School. Our partners that are connected and affiliated with Charitable Connections and Autodesk. And we want to also confirm on this show today that DeKalb County government had little or nothing to do with the success of our program. This is a personal disclaimer on my behalf. There is a situation, ladies, and gentlemen, that we as community leaders cannot lead when one or two people are blocking the progress for our youth. We also want to welcome our attorney counsel for the National Coalition, Eon Clark, as our counselor. But I want to go over the topic of today. When you're building capacity for women of color that increase sustainable companies, there are some dynamics that make the paradigm shift very important. And one of those paradigm shifts is the fact that you need to have collaboration with individuals who have access to our money, which is the AAR stimulus money that was allocated to several hundreds of counties and cities throughout the United States. And the folks who are charged with that money are only that. Those individuals that are charged with that money is just charged. They're not in charge, but they're just charged for the distribution of those funds to be allocated to viable organizations and firms and individuals who are building capacity within the community. In other words, if there's no sustainability within organizations, then those organizations should not exist. That is the heart and soul of what we believe in. We do understand that we have hit a very strong adversary in trying to work with the powers, Greater Towers community, and its president, and the CEO of HeartSmart has taken a personal endeavor to try to sabotage the Youth Bill program and disseminate the information to the governmental agency of DeKalb County. And we'll be issuing out a blog and a mass email in protest and asking for some form of apology and complete transparency in the fact that we have been partnering with the Greater Towers Association for some time now, and we were misled to believe that that association had the authority to state that we were in a position and of collaboration. Now, the details of this particular situation, I really cannot divulge, but the names are accurate. We are hoping to work diligently to help support the youth of this community. The National Coalition is signatory, and I myself personally have arranged signatory contracts that are executed as of today, currently since last year, with the UBC, which is the United Brotherhood of Carpenters, with the Concrete Union, Plaster St. Mason, and with IOTSI. And my family has been the private fiscal sponsors of the coalition in the Youth Build program. My family being myself, my sister, and my mother, and then the extended families of the directors who have volunteered their time and their resources to ensure that this program gets the designation that it so deserves. And we have an uphill battle when information becomes disseminated and folks try to copyright a program that they have no understanding of. We have diligently tried to work with every aspect of the grassroots communities. Myself personally have volunteered to work on committees. We have went out of our way to bring in consultation. We ask everybody to take a look at the blog that will be coming up in the next 72 hours, or actually the next 2 to 5 days. Check out the blog. We are going to fight for transparency, reform, information, and measuring, which is our TREM campaign that we're going to continue to measure the support of those who are charged with the handling of our money. We should not have to sit down at the table in a back room with smoke and brimstone, selling our souls to county governments, private people and individuals who have no direct conscious understanding of what the needs of individuals who are in the construction industry. They have no understanding of it, and to me, those individuals should not be a part of a structure that governs the type of dollars that have been stagnant in DeKalb County since the money has hit. And so we ourselves have shown a small amount of demonstration that allowed us, by the grace of God, to become a youth build program. And I did mention the names of those individuals, and we will be actually placing in order a timeline of all the work and all the efforts that's been done. We will not expound on too much more of that. That is my personal experience as the host of the show, and I thought it was very important to allow people to know that there's been a lot of activity involved with this youth build, with the Build the Youth, and we thank each other. We partner with individuals who have the same likeness with each other. So moving into more of a positive nature, want to talk about the green initiative that has been placed on the industry, and we want to talk about the first thing, which is best practices for our energy market that is in place. I'm going to take a moment and play Destiny Muhammad. Everybody should sit back and take a moment. Thank you.
And the voice of all good tidings. I am the sound of angels' laughter across the moonlight bay. I am all you'll ever need. I am all you'll ever need. I am the wisdom of all elders. I'm the wonder in a child's eyes. I am a cool and gentle breeze on a warm summer's day. I'm all you will ever need. All you'll ever
Okay, welcome back to the show. I wanted to make sure that we gave a breakdown of the capital improvement plan for DeKalb County and a list of various projects and the committed cost for the projects. And we're going to go down the row here. Emergency HVAC blocks two. The budget for that is $3.8 million. The Southwest DeKalb High School Block 2 and ADA is $1.8 million. The Towers High School Block 2 is, the cumulative budget was $3 million. The committed cost was $400,000. Remaining balance after committed cost is $2.6 million. The budget after expenses is $2.7 million. For Columbia High School in DeKalb County, SPLOST 2 is $11 million for committed cost. Spent to date is about $8 million. The budget balance after expenses is $5 million. Manera High School SPLOST 2 is $820,000. The amount of the actual budget is $808,000. The Cross Keys High School renovation, the cumulative budget was $16 million. The committed cost was $11 million. There was some land acquisition for $3 million. The committed cost was $3,000. The remaining balance for the committed cost was $2.9 million. So we want to make sure we're watching that. And ideally, of course, we have Tucker High School, the replacement of that high school. With the budget was $66 million. The committed cost was $50 million. To date, it's been $15 million that has been allocated. The actual expense, the shortfall was no less than $4 million, so they were able to retain $61 million of the project. And then we have a series of HVAC projects: Woodward, Stone Mountain High School, Reed Ann High School, Midvale East Stevenson Middle School, Clifton Elementary School, which is HVAC and ADA, the Vanderland Elementary School has the HVAC, ADA, and roof project, Chamley High School, ADA, and Career Tech, but Clarkston High School, Career Tech, and Facility Improvement, Drew Hills, ADA, Facility and Career Tech, HVAC. Dunwoody High School has ADA, Career Tech, and additions on that. That's a whopping $21 million for Dunwoody. Drew Hill has $20 million for their high school with the HVAC. Farrington Elementary has an ADA and HVAC budget of $1.9 million. This total for the HVAC improvements totals would be right about $80 million. Freeman Building AB, there has an ADA and HVAC. There's no money for that particular building. DSA relocation is a $10 million of the taxpayers' money. Then you got the Mountain Industrial Center, which is $31 million. The actual expense was $22 million. Lakeside High School, these are all projects that have either been bidded or out for bid right now. Lakeside High School Career Tech ADA is $11 million. Withonia High School addition is $11 million. ML King High School is $9 million. Miller Grove High School is $5 million. Warren Tech HVAC was a $1.1 million. McLendon's Elementary School HVAC and ADA improvements are $1.6 million. Sam Moss Center is $1.6 million. Norwood Elementary School, which is HVAC, ADA, Rockbridge Elementary has HVAC, ADA. Hooper Alexander is Elementary School, ADA and HVAC. Stone Mountain Elementary has an ADA, Hooper Alexander has no funds for their school. Stone Mountain Elementary is ADA. Total cost of those particular HVAC projects, Hambrick Elementary is 1.7. Forest Hill is HVAC 1.9. That totals to be about $27 million of taxpayers' money. And then you have Montgomery Elementary, Indian Creek, Stone Mill Elementary, Murphy Candler Elementary. I'm sorry, Stone Mill is the end of the HVAC improvements, and then we start the roofing jobs for the elementary schools, and those schools are as follow. This budget will be online, as well as some other potential projects that will be online as well. Murphy Candler Elementary School, which is a roofing job. Rainbow Elementary School is a roofing job. Hermitage Center, which is a roofing job. Sequoia Middle School, which is a roofing job. Wordsworth Elementary, Clarkston Center, Champion Middle School, Avondale Elementary School, Snapfinger Elementary School, Terry Mills Elementary School, Nancy Creek, which is an elementary school, Coral Wood Diagnostic Center, which is an elementary school, Midway Elementary School, DeKalb High School of Tech South is a roofing job as well. Edward Miller Elementary School is a roofing project, all good. Avondale's Flatshaws, Huntley Hills, all are roofing jobs, and we look at this as an estimated amount of about $14 million total. Then you have, unusually, DeKalb High School of Tech has no funds available for that. And then we have groups of ADA groups, Group A, Group B, Group C, the local school priority request, site improvements one. And let's go back to the ADA. The ADA group is $1 million. The ADA group B is $613,000. ADA group C is $2.4 million. The local school priority request is $2.6 million. For site improvements for one, which there's no clarity on what site improvements is and what schools there are, and this is where the fund begins. There's $8 million for that. Site improvements, too, is $4.8 million. There should be some transparency in what those one and two sites are, but it's not listed. The ADA Group D is $437,000. ADA Group E is $607,000. Now, they got local school priority request, too, is $2.4 million. And then they have buses, $4 million for buses. One, buses two, $3.9 million. Buses three is $4.4 million. Technology refresh is $19 million. And technology media centers, they got this group together, $10 million. General services is $200,000. Capital improvement team compensation is $6 million. And then there's a program contingency for $2 million, which is a whopping $466 million worth of taxpayers' money. Spent today out of that has only been $56 million. And keep in mind that these projects that were part of the allocation of the stimulus money has allowed some of these schools who mysteriously their funds disappeared. Then all of a sudden when the stimulus package hit, then they came back. So we know what some of those folks who understand that a lot of monies have been embezzled through various individuals and organizations and associations. We believe that there's a huge investigation leading to the DeKalb County Board of Education and its particular executive officers. Certainly, we hope that everything that they have been accused of, they have been found guilty of based on not just hearsay but facts. The facts that do prevail is that anybody that is accused of anything, did I myself, in fact, do anything wrong? So I wanted to make sure that this capital improvement notification is for the year 2007 to 2012. This is a mid-program assessment report, and we certainly want everyone to recognize that there are quite a bit of obstacles with the DeKalb County school systems, and we'll discuss that in just a moment. We're going to take a break. We got a few minutes left into the show. Want to change gears about transparency again. In any society where you have 14 billion people out of work and the entities that exist are holding on to funds and suffocating the people who are trying to suffocate the folks who have dreams, well, we know that that's not going to happen. And we want to try to close out the show by allowing individuals that's in the chat room that I'm responding to. A lot of this shows are being edited, and then some of them are just absolutely just being broadcast every week. We are going to be looking for a new show host, and I will be also traveling to Washington, D.C. on October 26th, 27th, and 28th to speak with the Wider Opportunity for Women and the 25 organizations around the country about, I was asked to, the coalition and the Build a Youth Program was asked to discuss our program model with those individuals to try to serve as an example of how to work within the type of a delicate political environment that we're involved in, the pulse of this county, especially in South DeKalb, is horrific. There's a 44% dropout rate. There's a 22% PUMA rate, poverty rate. And when you're in this type of desolate times, I think that desperate measures have come. And when people want you to dot the I's and cross the T's, and they themselves have not crossed their I's, dotted their I's and crossed their T's, they should not try to judge. They're charged to watch over the money and have it delegated properly. We want to express our sheer gratitude to the one of the most brilliant visionary women that we have met, which is Betty Davis, which is the second person in charge of DeKalb County. She has been a strong visionary, in my personal opinion, to try to open up the lines of communications with nonprofits, private individuals, and things of that nature. We're hoping that in light of the fact that we were attempting to emerge ourselves into the area, that once we leave Washington, D.C., we will have a fair and equal voice, not just in DeKalb County, but in the South. The southern parts of the United States are very much underfunded because alliances that we have that we've created over the past 18 months do not exist anyplace else. When it comes to minority women-owned firms, we know that the ABC, the AGC, Hispanic Contractors Association, the United Brotherhood of Carpenters, and the Building Trades are all supported and funded heavily by its main primary members. So with that being said, we want to express that the capital improvements projects do not have LSBE, minority participation goals, or local small business enterprise goals. They does not have goals for women, goals for youth, goals for minorities. So the monies that's being spent are just been horrific. There's a school that the roof had been done, and the contractor went out of business, and there are buckets, literally buckets, all over the school when it rains. And it is a sight to understand how people can govern on this type of level and then actually throw the first stone at someone who is trying to help these youth, the National Coalition, the Women of Color, and Karima Ali, which is a total separate entity, Karima's all by herself, supports and advocates for young people, 16 to 24 years of age, and women of color. And we also want to thank Joanne Colbert for her vision, and Michelle Uchiyama, who are our blue-eyed soul sisters, who have worked with us and mentored us. And we also want to thank Nadine Levy from Upbuild Design for her vision. And please tune in to Miss Levy's ministry, which is you can find her on Blog Talk Radio at Upbuild Ministries each morning at 6:30. Prayer. And again, that is Upbuild Ministries. You can go on Blog Talk, Google Upbuild Ministries, and every Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, you'll be able to hear Minister Levy lead prayer. And that is what it's going to take in order for us to get through this. So I want to thank also Ms. Sandra Weeks, who has been a tremendous parent and a visionary for her daughter to have proper education. So we're hoping and looking forward to the show for next week. Thank you, and everyone have a very, very good day. Thank you.